Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Sport Kite Podcast. I am your host, Nick O'Neill, and I wanted to thank you for tuning in and listening. We are kicking off a new season here at the Sport Kite Podcast, and I couldn't be happier. I'm so excited. I've been waiting a few months to get this one started. Just had to kind of get my feet underneath me again, and really happy to say that we're going to kick off this season with interviews with Team USA, who I happen to be a member of, and sportkite.org is a sponsor of. But yeah, we're going to be talking with the other members of Team USA as they prepare for the World Kite Cup that's coming up April 19th or April 20th through the 28th. In Berck-sur-Mer, France. It is put on by R-Sky Events. They are sponsoring kind of the whole event, so big shout out to them. Go check them out. We'll be doing a lot of coverage of the event here on sportkite.org. We'll be hitting it on the podcast. We'll be doing it on the YouTubes. We'll be putting it on the Facebooks and all the other good stuff. So make sure you smash that subscribe button so that you kind of get all this good stuff delivered to you. You can see what the crew is doing. And then we're also really looking forward to doing interviews with some of the other teams, some of the other flyers, getting to know all those people all over there and sharing their stories. Cannot wait to kind of cover this whole thing as it goes forward. So with that being said, before I hop in to this first episode of the new season, where I interview Paul DeBacher and Spence Watson as they talk about their dual line pairs preparation as a part of Team USA, I kind of wanted to give a shout out to some of our sponsors that are helping Team USA get to the World Kite Cup. And the first two are Level One Kites USA. They provide boutique built sport kites. You can find all their information at level1kitesusa.com. I highly recommend the Badass. I'm totally not biased because the company happens to also be owned by Paul DeBacher, who has a long-standing history with Level One Kites. It was the very, very first kite company that he worked with all the way back in 1997. I believe we did an interview about that here on the podcast. So you can go check that out. But yeah, he's been instrumental in making sure that we get some of those kites over here in the US and make them available. And then the other sponsor I want to give a shout out to is Wadi.us, better known as Wadi Works. So Spence Watson, one of the other members here that I'm going to be interviewing, he has a really cool website where he does walkthroughs, he does tutorials, he kind of has build-alongs. You can see what he's doing. He has a lot of open source information for those of you that want to build your own sport kite. I highly recommend you go check out what he's doing. And I know we're working on some more fun stuff coming from him, some more in-depth tutorials and kite builds, so definitely check them out. Next up, I want to give a shout out to kiteforge.com. They make the Jin and the Kaiju, and oh, I believe they've got a handful of other kites in their quiver. So apologies, John, if you're listening to this right now. It's just the first two kites that are sticking out are the Jin and the Kaiju. The Jin being a quad line kite and the Kaiju being a dual line kite. And they're backed by a ton of wonderful experience, user experience, tweaking, development, all of that. And they've been a great friend to us here at sportkite.org. And they are helping sponsor Team USA. So I really want to give a shout out to them. We'll be talking more about them in coming episodes. We'll be making mentions of them, and we'll be announcing some of our new sponsors. We got a handful more sponsors I want to give a shout out to. We're just kind of finalizing all the paperwork. If you're interested yourself in sponsoring the team, we got a handful of different options. We've got the corporate sponsorship, which we would love to have you if you're a kite company, kite related. Even if you're not a kite company, we would love to have you. We'll be slapping a beautiful logo of yours on all of our stuff, making sure everybody knows how much you love and support sport kite flying, not only in the world, but definitely here in the US. And so we'll be putting that out. We'll be doing as much brand awareness and raising as much awareness for you as we can. And then for those of you that are general supporters, we're going to have a handful of different options here shortly. We have just general donation for anyone who would be interested in potentially helping Team USA make this happen. But we're also creating a supporter shirt. So a specially designed support kite shirt that hopefully you want to wear that shows not only your love of sport kite flying, but your support of Team USA's bid for the World Kite Cup in Bourg-sur-Mer, France. And we'll have all that information on sportkite.org. So do stay tuned. We're going to try and make sure that we sing all of that loud and proud so you don't miss it. But yeah, this has been a very long intro, and I think it's time for us to get in to this chat with Paul DeBacher and Spence Watson, who are not only flying the dual line pair, but they're also representing the dual line individual and quad line individual portion of Team USA, and they are the co-captains of Team USA. So let's get into it.
How are we going to do introduction? I guess the best way to do an introduction is say, hey, welcome to the Sport Kite podcast. I have with me here two people who have been repeat attendees and contributors to the Sport Kite podcast. You guys care to introduce yourselves?
All I heard was repeat offenders. so I guess that means I'll do my first introduction. Hi, my name is Paul DeBacher. And I have a sport kite addiction, apparently.
All right, Waddy.
Yeah, I'm Spencer Watson, Waddy. We're here to talk about sport kite team, USA sport kite team and all that. And Paul and I are flying dual line pairs, Paul on dual line individual, and I'll be doing quad line individual. It's fun.
Yeah. So you guys, as you mentioned, Waddy, you're both members of Team USA for the World Kite Cup at Bourg-sur-Mer, France, coming up at the end of April. The other members of Team USA we're going to have later on the podcast, and that would be Brett Marshall, Katrina Bruland, Crystal Wilder, and Lindsay Abbott. And so they will comprise the quad line team and quad line pairs, correct? And you guys are the dual line pairs, dual line individual, quad line individual.
So that is correct. Yep.
And we'll get in later on one of the later podcasts how the scoring system and everything else works. But for now, we're just kind of focusing on the flyers and your guys' preparation. So I'm fortunate enough that I'm good friends. Well, I am partnered with one of you and good friends with the other. So I get kind of a behind the scenes look.
Which one's which?
Both.
Sometimes I don't know. You're both honeys. So, but I get a behind the scenes look at what you guys are doing and your practicing and stuff like that. But can you kind of give me a rough rundown so that other people know how you prepare or how you guys have been preparing your dual line pairs and your individual routines for this event?
Well, I think, I'll kick it off. I think it was a two-pronged approach here. Waddy has been super important preparing with building kites that match, because of course we want to fly the same kite so that they will have the same speed and the same characteristics. And neither one of us had the same kite. So Waddy has been working on that. And there's a second component to that too, is that we're expecting a high wind competition and you have to prepare for that with high wind kites. So, and Waddy, I'm sure we'll be able to say more about that. And my first work has been to write the choreography for the routine. It is a competition that is, solely based on a musical routine, and in competitions in years past, there would have been a musical routine and maybe a technical competition, and then you'll have a combined score. From an audience and watching perspective, the technical routine without music never got on that well. So they just completely got away with that, and it's strictly music at this point. So that starts with the choreography, and I've been spending a lot of time putting that on paper. And then last weekend, we had our first run through live on the beach together. Mm-hmm. So That was fun.
See what else? I guess on the kite side, one of so we've had a relatively short amount of time to prepare, and that this kind of came up since the beginning of the year, right? January or so, I think this was coming up. And
We heard about it. I remember this because of where I was. We heard about this like late December. That's when we started making, thinking about it and planning it, as far as planning it in the schedule. Sorry.
Yeah, so we ha basically only had from the beginning of the year to April, right, is when the event is the end of April. So we don't have a ton of time. And so equipment was definitely top of mind. And given that short time frame, I'm a kite builder and I have a set of escapes that I have built for myself, and that's a design from Ulsberger kites that I've very much enjoyed, and then modified to make a vented, a light vented version. So I already had a decent wind range, and so the first thought is, okay, how can I kill as many birds with as few stones as possible? And really, I was already going to make another set of escapes for a friend. And so I already had the materials for them, and it was like, okay, well, I can just make more of them anyway, like I was gonna do. And also just we have to choose a color that then matches, or at least complements mine. And so now there's half the work, right? Instead of me building up a full pair set, I at least already have half of the set, and so I can build the other half, and then the other half will also go on to other intended uses after the fact. And there's a similar story there with the quad line that I'm going to try to build some stuff for the quad line team potentially. And it's the same sort of thing where I already fly two quad lines at a time, and so I carry two everywhere. So I already have half of a full team set. And I'm also already working on building out the rest of the team set because I'm trying to fly three at once. And so I'm like, well, if I'm going to carry three, I might as well carry four. So here we go. So I'm already was going to build them. It's just now in a bit more of a hurry. So we'll see what happens on the quad line side. I haven't gotten to that part yet. I'm trying to focus on the dual lines initially, because at least everyone has, quad lines. You don't have to match the specific specs, so you have a speed control built in the controls, right? So it's a little easier. It would be nice if they didn't look like a random assortment of kites on the field. It'd be nice if they at least followed kind of some sort of aesthetic, or looked like a group. So that's kind of what I would like, but we'll see. So that's been good. The escapes have been decent. I'm now working on a heavily vented, because as we mentioned, we're expecting some heavier winds, and we flew on our practice with the lighter vented ones with some mesh strung between the lines to help slow things down, and we were only getting up to maybe 18 miles an hour at peak, I would guess, and the competition rules allow for up to 27 miles an hour, and so we were hitting right up into the peak range of our equipment at that point. So I'm building some more, making them heavier, more vented, just the nothing else will fly in this moment, and so at least we have something, kites. So working on those, and and then the choreography stuff. Yeah, Paul's taking care of the dual line pairs. For individual stuff, I think we're kind of figuring that out on our own. Individual is so different than doing pairs or team choreography, right? Because with pairs and team, you really have to choreograph it, right? You really have to like lay out, you're going here at this time. We're counting the beats. We're like, it's like explicit.
It's
And
100% written out, no wiggle room.
Right. But with individual, you don't have to coordinate with another person. It can, the biggest part is knowing the music and knowing where the opportunities are. And you can kind of do some things reliably at the same point in music and do the same maneuver at times. But everything else is like so flexible, and very adaptable to the conditions and how you feel or whatever, right? That you can kind of really push up to these boundaries and then mitigate mistakes and things like that a lot easier. So in that regard, it really comes down to music choice, getting something you really know and then making sure you know it even better. And, you know, maybe some amount of choreography of finding those opportunities that normally, at least on my individual routines, have happened over the course of a decade or so, right? Of like, oh, I have this song, it's stuck around. And now, you know, a decade later, I have habits of like, oh, I did this here that one time, and I've done it like that ever since, right? And like by performing the same routine over and over and again. So in this case, it would be maybe taking one of those and doing a bit more practice on it, or find a different song and try to do enough practice to replicate that same organic growth in an individual routine. But yeah, that gets down to really particular per person, I'm sure. So
funny yeah. Anecdote here, if I may interrupt. You were wanting me to listen to some music and give my opinion about it. And it turned out it was the same piece of music that I was thinking about to fly an individual.
Yeah.
Interesting, if nothing yeah. else.
Well, music choice is hard. You know, because that's really the biggest part, is that I've listened to hours and hours of music and trying to find all different ways, different paths to follow, to try to discover new things that I wouldn't run into otherwise. And it's like, I feel like it's really hard for individual, because if a song is really textured and there's a lot going on, it's too much. You can't hit everything. That can work well for a team or a duel, where you can kind of, you know, each person can take a portion of the burden and you can hit a lot more of those opportunities in different ways as you can take advantage of those things. But with individual, you just have the one kite and it can only move so fast. You know, so that's hard, and it can't be too slow. You don't want it to be like, you know, monotone and just like boring. You don't want to be doing the same thing forever. You want some good variation, and, you know, some, especially I think the song that we were talking about was one where it kind of has some unexpected beats that like kind of like, or little, you know, there'd be, oh, this little sound that kind of pops up that you wouldn't really expect unless you know the song. And those are really cool because, oh, okay, if it's on a rhythm, well, anybody can kind of expect that, oh, you're going to do this and 1, 2, 3, 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4. Right. But in a song like this, where it's 1, 2 and whoa, 3, 4, right? Then it's like, well, you got to know that's coming. And it's a really clear, like, demonstration that you know the music and that you planned for this and stuff like that, if you hit these unexpected moments. So those sorts of things are really cool. And there's a lot of that in that song. And that's kind of what stood out to me. Just great opportunities to demonstrate that you know the music and you're not just like going along to a predictable, you know, beat. But yeah, music is hard, man.
It is hard. We should do a workshop about this kind of stuff.
What? Yeah. Like putting moves to music or something? The two of you. The two
like
of you. Yeah.
Well, which... let's now actually call it putting money where mouth is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the hard, they're really like, because what it comes down to is that in my 18 or 19 years of flying kites to music and things, I have two songs that have like stuck around, you know, like I've had a bunch of songs that I've flown to and maybe I do it for a year or two, but then I'm just not feeling it. It's just not like growing with me as I want. I have Paint It Black and I have Breeze are like the two songs so far that I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I've flown these now for over a decade and they're still great. But yeah, two songs in 18 years.
Invitations to festivals.
I know, right? That's why I just do different things, right? I'm not good enough at my ballet to get invites just on my individual ballet. So I got to fly stacks. I got to fly two at once. I got to fly dual line. I got to...
Fair enough.
I make up for quality with quantity.
Jeez. Oh boy. All right. Just to ask, you know, because we're coming up on what, 2 months out, and you guys have already had a training session. You're going to have a bunch more training sessions.
Training session, yeah.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges you guys have already run into and how you're kind of trying to figure out how to work with that? Like you already mentioned, your gear only went up to like 18 miles an hour and you're like, oh crap, we need
higher wind stuff.
We hear that goes to 11. Yes.
Yeah. So for those, because we're doing this on a video call, but for those on the podcast right now, actually Wadi is calling in while he is actively building the high wind, the high wind variants. Yeah. So are there any other challenges you guys ran into, like certain maneuvers not working and saying, hey, we need to.
Sure. I mean, especially day one, but I'm expecting day two and three to be the exact same, more or less. More or less an exact, never mind. But day one, it's stop and go perpetually. You talk your way. There's more talking than flying that day because we're trying to mate whatever it is that we wrote down on paper and made it with an actual flight pattern in the sky. And invariably, things are not going to work. One of the things that we realized as what was already touched on, as what I'm watching Wadi do right now, is indeed we need another kite. We need one more kite to round out the upper wind range. We also realized that with all the wind breaks and the vents in the sail, your wind window is going to get narrower. So to counter that, we're going to need longer line sets. Just dumb little things that you find out when you do it.
And the way that this surfaced, right, is more about as the wind picks up, the kites fly faster, and we're running out of space to try to get the timing that we want with what we're trying to do. And so, you could have the same kite and, build it strong and just like hold on. But at the end of the day, you got some shit you're trying to do. And so you need to be able to hit these beats and have a speed in the kite that works on that. That's where longer lines, heavier, anything that produces more drag, having a kite that's less powered, all that kind of stuff to slow it down and make sure we actually have the time to hit our maneuvers.
Exactly. I don't know if you, at the beginning of the day, we started out with a 7.5 to 8 second wide wind window. So basically measured from left to right, how much time does it take to fly through the wind window? And we ended up with about 6.5 seconds worth of wind window. So that changed considerably. And with that, that changes how you can fly, how you're able to fly a routine. So we were able to fly fully through half of the routine as intended. And I think we flew it at about 95% as it was drawn. A couple of small changes were made, but not much at all. And then we used that was crappy wind too. It wasn't even hard wind. It was also bumpy as crap because it was coming from the land. It was.
And we had the sun on our eyes. That was fun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's forget about that part. So no,
asbestos until the wind comes off the land.
Yep. To have those challenging flight conditions immediately stretches up that routine to its limits. So I think we both had the dream of flying the entire routine that day, but given the crap wind, that was just not possible, and we had to figure out other things. But what it did for us was it showed us what, on the technical and material and equipment side, we still needed to have and work on. So that's now, I expect, out of the way.
And yeah, I think so.
Back to the beach in a few weeks, because as we discovered, our traveling schedules were, as Wadi put it, perfectly staggered. I'm currently in Europe. The moment I come back, Wadi leaves for a long trip to Asia. So only until Wadi comes back is when we can be, of course, on the beach in Washington again. So, but I do believe that in a few weeks when we're meeting again, we can fully concentrate for a couple of days on flying and implementing that routine and getting the last kinks out of it, making that full transition from paper to flying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the other thing too on challenges there is, of how to like work through the choreography in the first place, right? Of like, okay, Paul spent some time listening through the music and kind of writing down on papers, kind of storyboarding what the process would be like. But that is not an adequate substitute for flying it, right? Like we could kind of walk through in the hotel room with some sticks and go, and we could only really get maybe to halfway until we were like, okay, we have a couple of points here where we're getting through to the here with the sticks. And we're like, we're not really sure how this will work right now with the sticks. We need to fly it. And so at that point, it was like, okay, no point in going any further with the sticks. We need to go out and fly it, and we need to take care of these things, right? So the paper templates and stuff can get you a good start. So that's, I think, one part that was a big challenge was how is translating what we were kind of envisioning, or what Paul is largely envisioning in the storyboard, and translating that to real life with the kites in the air. And then the other part too, I think, was, I think this is a new piece for both of us, right? Paul suggested the song, but I don't think either of us, it's not in like our normal playlist, right? So there was definitely, I think the biggest struggle we had during the day was going, are we late or are we early? because we didn't know the song well enough, or we're like, okay, Paul choreographed in these parts, we were trying to hit these particular moments, but we didn't really know the music well enough yet, that, you know, we didn't quite see where those moments were while we were trying to do it, and we kind of had to step back and go back to the sticks and try to figure it out. And then by the end of the day, we were calling that first half without any words, right? Because now we knew that we'd listened to it over and over and over that day, and flown, tried to fly this routine to it over and over and over. So where now we knew that part of the music, we knew what we were trying to do where, and we didn't need to talk about it anymore because now we knew it, we didn't have to give any cues. So that's still something that's on my homework, is to listen to that song on repeat. Just generally to just try to like drill, you know, I think it'll be a lot easier if I just know the song by heart, right? Then that'll be that's beneficial, especially as we try to work through that second half, and maybe that'll help.
I wake up with that song in my ears now. It's been annoying. I actually had to step away for a few days because that song was getting at me and getting to me from all corners and angles.
Yeah, it's hard to do this with a song that you really, really enjoy. Well, I mean, maybe yes and no, I guess, right? Because if it's a song that you really enjoy, you probably already know it by heart, you know, and you still love it. So that's kind of nice. But most of the songs that I really, really love to listen to generally just don't work well for what we're trying to do. So you have to take something that you don't necessarily love, but you like it, and you're going to make yourself to like it less, basically.
It's a component of you pick the piece of music not just for yourself, but for other people, audience or judges. And does this lend to put in what I want to show, what I want to show with the kites? And there are tricks to that trade, into picking the music as far as making it understandable for a judge, but also don't make it too predictable. That's a weird little balance to walk as well. So it's not even can we listen to it, but do we expect that audience and judges can listen to it, and then that we can make that choreography understandable to that music. Everything needs to be understandable.
Yeah, and that note also reminds me about, you know, I was thinking about my individual, and I was thinking about potentially using a routine I've done a couple times before, but it's very much dependent on the lyrics. It's like the song is a story, and I'm going along with that particular story, and the words are like really relevant. And I really like that routine, but then my thought was, we'll be in France. They won't understand the words. So like so much of the value of that routine will be lost. So that's no good.
Well, it's a good thing that you thought through that and realized that, I think. And with indeed a routine where so much is depending on the words, you can't really take it out of the country.
Yep.
Man. I've been listening to the music a lot. I have it on a special playlist, and I'm actually looking at making a Team USA playlist that not only has the performance songs, but also songs that are like helping inspire, and releasing that on sportkite.org or something like that. But
you're gonna release an album.
Yeah, I'm not flying it, and I still listen to it. Yeah.
Inspirational mixtape.
Yeah, Team USA's, you know, love mixtape or something, right? But no, I've been listening to the music just a lot, just so I better understand it, and especially from future video editing standpoint, like what you guys are trying to do and stuff like that. I'm already kind of sick of it. So I can imagine you guys are just already.
I have not listened to it since our practice. I should probably resolve that. But
I stepped away from it on purpose, and yet I have listened to it since we practiced. It's coming at me.
I definitely thought, yeah, I've listened to it in my head. Yeah. I've thought through the routine that we've done.
Involuntary, too.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, that was even led me into redrawing the first half of our routine in a Google drawing, just to kind of like, it's useful for when we get back together in a couple of weeks and can hopefully remember a little bit more clearly, because it has some of the updated details that we figured out on the field. But also it was an exercise of, this is all stuck in my head right now and I need to do something about it.
Get out.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a question, just because I know both of you, and I know both of your histories and your styles and stuff like that. Both of you are bringing not only a huge like background in sport kite flying and performance and ability, but you're also bringing different, I guess, qualities. So not only styles of flying, but like Paul, you've brought choreography, and Wadi, you've been making the calls on the field.
Sometimes, I mean, when it comes down to choreographed routines, right, there's not really a lot of calling to do there. When we're kind of sorting out something and we need mm-hmm. some reminders, then yeah, I think I tend to be the person to belt some things out. So a bit, but I think within the routine,
particularly
it's not really
in handy when we were introducing some more complex figures, we were trying to get the timing down, and you are the experienced team kite flyer. And at that point, I'm just like, okay, you call the thing, I will fly it. Even sure. Funnily enough, if it was my choreography, it's still, I'm learning right. to fly in a pair. And you have simply more experience with that. So yeah, obviously you get to do the call.
Right. So, and for reference, you know, I've been flying quadline team for since probably 2007, I think, maybe would be the first time I flew quadline team, right? Flew on Team iQuad, and now I lead a team called the Kite Collective. So done a lot of calling, flown a lot of team, you know, flying with someone next to my shoulder is like really comfortable for me. So yeah, and Paul's obviously not a quadline flyer, and Tula, and you know, team is so much more prevalent in quadline that you know, Paul definitely has the hands and has done the pairs and the, you know, all of that. But there's certainly some extra things that there's a lot of lingo in the team stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm sure Paul and I both noticed that when for a moment, you know, Weider came out and picked up one of the dual line kites, and we just kind of flew around a little bit. And Weider similarly has flown quad line extensively in teams and led Rev Riders, and he's on my quad line team, Kite Collective. And so I can use pretty much the same quad line calls on dual line, you know, maybe some slight variations because I know how the kites behave differently. But Scott and I can just kind of bang some stuff out because it's like, oh, you know, flank up, and I'll break the thread. Go 180. Go coming in for compound benefits. Go, you know, whatever. Right? We have all these lingo, and then Paul's standing there like, the fuck is that? what are these words? What's a super stop? What's too. A right?
I and can't get replaced. I'm looking at that. I'm like, huh? That looks quite good.
But the limitation of that, though, right, is that there are these preset maneuvers, but they're preset maneuvers. Right, it's like we have the blender, we have a do-si-do, we have a big top roll, we have all these things, and yeah, you could take those and plug them in to make your routine, but that's a lot less interesting, you know, especially for kite people where it's like, oh, they did a big top roll and they did a right, and so it's much more interesting if you can, you know, not lock yourself into those, which I think is maybe one benefit of Paul doing some of the choreography here, is that he's not, doesn't have those, that set of vocabulary there to be able to end up getting locked into those. So there's no, there's not really any risk of like going, you know, routine, you know, set maneuver to set maneuver so much. I guess there's the core, you know, the old school precision bits maybe, but yeah, but also I wouldn't be able to call this routine like I would, you know, a pickup group quad line team, because they're not standard maneuvers, right? So
the maneuvers are completely written by what the music dictates, not by what a preset figure is. I don't look at that at all, not one bit. There are a couple of small elements, I think, here and there that would be, as Wadi called it, old school precision figures, but really not. It's all just the lines are representing whatever the melody or the chorus or a beat or a break beat or whatever we choose in the music to fly to. Strictly music driven, 100%. Not 100%. I try to look at the whole, step back, look at the whole and put in some variation, make sure that there's a balance between follow and split maneuvers, or between the round and square maneuvers, or between asymmetric maneuvers and all that. I try to look at a balance and then maybe rework some elements. But so I'll dial my comment of 100% music driven down a little bit to about 85-90% music driven.
Yeah, there's a bit of catering because it is a competition at the end of the day, right? And you want to, well, and even from a performance aspect, you don't want to be doing just the same thing. You know, I don't want to send a whole routine doing square cuts, right? We want to be able to demonstrate a wide variety of abilities, right? And so making sure that you can demonstrate as much as possible in your routine is not only good for competition, but it's a more interesting thing to watch. You know, right? It's a spice of life.
Indeed.
All right. Well, you guys got any last thoughts, preparation wise, or I don't know, any last thoughts before we close out this one? Like, are you guys excited and looking forward to the event?
Oh man, I'm not there. I'm biting this elephant, or I'm chopping this elephant up in bite-sized pieces. Yes, I like that there is a right now I'm enjoying the process and I'm seeing the event as a reason to, but not as an end goal.
Okay.
It basically just got my butt in gear and get together with Wadi and do something I haven't done before yet.
Well, and something that we've wanted to do, right?
Yes.
Like ages, and so it's nice to have this forcing function to like, yeah. Oh, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Because otherwise, now, we just wait forever till the time is right, till the stars align, or whatever.
Well, I guess now we make it so that the time is right because we have a hard deadline.
Yep.
All right. And you got, have you guys been paying attention to any of the other teams that are getting their stuff prepared, or just kind of super focused on what you're doing?
I think I inadvertently saw some things, but I'm not seeking anything out at this point.
Okay.
I'm just looking forward to, once at the event, I'm sure we'll be interacting and seeing and sharing and doing with the other countries and the other competitors. But right now, no, I'm doing my own thing. I'm focused on us.
Yeah, all right. I've seen a bit. You know, if things get posted on Facebook or whatever, then like, sometimes depending on who's posting it and what they're posting, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll probably see that when I'm there. You know, there've been some interesting kite builds I've been seeing, and that's been the bulk of it. I haven't really seen much around like people showing their, you know, snippets of their routine or anything like that. Yeah. And otherwise, you know, I do have some friends that are going, right. And of course, there's going to be some conversation. You know, I'm like, Mario DeLuca is going to be there representing Canada, and Mario's going to be there with me in Thailand and Malaysia here in a few weeks. So of course we're going to talk about it, right?
Get him drunk and have him spill the beans, okay?
Yeah, well, in fact, I was actually talking with Willow earlier, Willow Robin. She's a member of my team, the Kite Collective. Kite Collective, we have a team set of kites that Steve DeRoy and Willow Robin hold on to. And so that's kind of my backup plan. If I'm not able to build out some quadline kites for the team, at least I can go get those. And we were talking about, they're not planning on bringing them to Asia. And so we were thinking, oh, well, Mario lives on the same island as them. Maybe Mario can just bring them to Burke for us. So we'll see if I can butter him up in Asia and see if he's willing to carry competitors' kites too.
I don't know, man. Check those connectors really thoroughly.
Yeah. yeah. So it's kind That's of fun. Funny, some of that, you know, which I really like. I like how this has been generally a very friendly atmosphere of like people are just having fun and kind of enjoying what this is. And so that's great. And especially when it comes with people that you're good friends with, it's like, well, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Mario did agree to carry the kites for us. Cause Mario and I do all kinds of stuff together with it. You know, he's been making some kites we talk about 3D printing. We talk about all kinds of kite making stuff, like, you know, good friends. So there's stuff like that where it's the competition is the competition, and it's there to kind of add an extra element and get us to kind of bring our best and have some fun with it. But at the end of the day, you know, we're not going to be saboteurs anywhere, right? Like, I'd be surprised to find anything like that, right? I think we're all pretty well on the same page of, I want to compete against people at their best. I want everyone to do their best, and I still want to win. But I want to win against people at their best, right? Or at least I want to do my best and see where I rank up against everyone else and their best. Sure. I don't want to see where I rank against someone else's worst. I don't give a shit about that, you know. So, and I think that's a great, you know, great way to go about it, right? That's core sportsmanship, and it's great. So I've felt that kind of nice feeling around this in general, is that I haven't really seen much negativity within the group, right?
Same. Team USA has been a very cohesive group, I think. The team chat is super supportive, and everybody is exchanging tips and giving advice. So that has been a very nice experience. But indeed, also chatting with some of the other teams, I have a background in Europe. I'm from there, so it's inevitable that I see and hear and talk with some of the peeps over there, and it's all been very cordial. In fact, I think we have a very surprising sponsor for Team USA, and that is, to me, is saying something about the friendship that's behind all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be announcing all the sponsors shortly, but that is essentially one of the other teams has sponsored Team USA to come over to the World Kite Cup. So I think that's cool. Anyways, all right. Well, we're going to go ahead and close this one out. So I wanted to say thank you guys for joining here on the podcast. And for those listening, please do stay tuned. We will have video of everybody doing things. We're going to have their sponsorship announcements. We're going to have kind of follow-up stuff, and we'll continue doing interviews with these guys as we go along. So thank you, everybody, for joining, and we'll see you on the next podcast.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye, Paul. Go say hi to Dad.
Will do.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Bye, Wadi.
Yeah.
You guys have a good one. Bye.
All right. You too.
It's actually the end of the conversation, right? Or
yeah.
You're actually dropping me off and out. All right.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Go.
I'm out of here.
Love you.
Sorry to watch with my dad.
Exactly. Bye.
Okay. Bye. I'll talk to you later. Okay? Bye.
All right. I hope you enjoyed what you heard here. We've already released a video about the dual line pairs prep day. We have kind of a little teaser video up on our YouTube channel. Just search for sportkite.org. I'm so tongue twisted right now. But just search for sportkite.org on YouTube. You'll see it. It's the dual line pairs prep day for Team USA. We have a whole bunch more video we're going to be releasing soon that kind of talks about the whole journey. We're going to get a little bit more into the sponsors that have been supporting us, that are helping us make this happen. And yeah, can't wait, because the next episode, we're going to talk to the other members of Team USA. Really excited about that one, because we get a chance to show some diversity and fun and the differences of why this team came together the way it did. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. And yeah, if you like what you hear here on the podcast, definitely spread the word. Let everybody know that you like this podcast, that it helps you kind of better understand what's going on in the sport kite world. If you have any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, you want to give us a yay, a nay, say like, hey, I really don't understand this episode, you can always reach out to me at info@sportkite.org. In fact, I just had someone do that, and they asked if I had transcripts for the episodes. So just so you know, it is something I'm working on. I just have to get the good old ChatGPT and AI generator to finish creating a proper transcript. So we will have transcripts available for all of the episodes if you have questions. That may just take a little bit of time, but it's suggestions like that that I love hearing. So if you have one, sorry, my kitty's trying to rub on the mic. If you have any suggestions, questions, comments, all of that, reach out to us. If you like what we do here on the podcast, consider going to buymeacoffee.com/sportkite. And of course, we're always looking for supporters for Team USA. So if you're one of those, corporate or not, we'd love to hear from you. Every little bit really, really does help. It's really kind of helping bring this team together from all of the far corners of the United States. All right, with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. We're going to get this episode published because I can't wait to get to the next one. So I will see you guys on the field.